Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Lord, open our hearts, and our lives will sing out your name. Amen. Good morning once again. It is so good to be here with you. I want to thank Pastor Wolf for the invitation to be here today and for all of the wonderful hospitality I've received this morning, from tours to orient myself around the building to finding the coffee in the bathroom when I got here. Very important parts of the Sunday morning ritual for a pastor. Even to that point where I received the check for this pulpit supply gig 2 days ago. So I have never been paid that quickly for something I've never done yet. So you all set the bar real high, real high. Seriously, though, Michelle and I, my wife and I, are really thankful for you and for this opportunity to be with you. I am put into mind by this plumb line talk by Amos of my undergraduate institution, Ashland University, and the new education building that they built while I was there. I remember watching it be constructed. I remember going to see it and its wonder. It was probably the biggest building on campus, or at least it felt like that by the time it was done. I also remember laying under it as though my head were up against this wall, looking straight up, and noticing very clearly that they had not used a plumb line very well at all, because you could see ripples in the brick of this building. You could see it most profoundly in the winter, when after some of the snow had melted, there were tiny little ridges and ledges where snow yet remained on the side of the building. It was a strange thing to think that they had invested so much money, so much time and energy, and not used a plumb line. How many of you here have ever seen a plumb line before? It's a fairly simple device. It's just a weight on a string that you hang from a level at the top of a wall. But what that does for you is ensure that the wall is at the same straight line as you lay brick upon brick or stone upon stone. It's not just to keep it vertical, though. It's not just to make sure it's nice, straight lines. Though I am terrible at math, my geometry teacher, Mr. Scheifler, would tell me that the strongest walls and the strongest lines are the straightest walls and the straightest lines, not because the edges are in line, but because the center is in line. So the deviations from the center put at risk the integrity of the wall. They put at risk the integrity of the building. So it's not just verticality that we're worried about, but it's that level, unswerving, undeviating strength that a plumb line helps us to ensure. It's about the core, the DNA, if you will, of the wall. For us, as the church, then, Christ is our plumb line. Christ is the measure of our alignment and the center of our strength. So help me out with a little bit of something. You all are theologians. You've been trained up well in the church, I'm sure. How do we find that in the head of a little girl asking for the prophet, or the question of a little girl wanting a prophet's head on a platter? That's the right answer. I have no idea, right? What is this about? John the Baptist is the victim of state torture and death because his faithfulness was aligned with Jesus. Because he, like Amos before him, was a prophet, even to those in the highest and most important centers of state power. That's one of the funny things that you read Amos, and what does it say? What does the high priest say? Whose sanctuary was it? Not God's, but this is the sanctuary of the king. Friends, I will tell you, if this sanctuary is built on the plumb line of Pastor Ralph or on the plumb line of the states, whether it's a constitution or a code or a leader elected or not, it will fall. It will be wonky and out of line. There will be no core strength, and it will topple. That's what we learn from John the Baptist's death, I think. The gospel is dangerous to the power of the state because it points out those wobbles in the wall. It says, in fact, you cannot stand this way. Not for long, certainly not forever. It says, I can see, though you put a lot of money or time into this, your intentionality, your focus, did not keep the core, the DNA, in mind. The gospel is dangerous to those powers that want to claim ultimate authority because the gospel weighs a plumb line and says, it's not right. But also for us, it has the other message as well. Because like for John, and like for Jesus, living the gospel entails consequences for Christ's followers. The plumb line that is laid against us is one that the state does not like. The plumb line that is laid against us is one that the world does not desire. And so our obedience to that plumb line has inherent risk to it, even to death. So love based in God, rather than obedience based in this kind of worldly, secular, state-sanctioned appropriation of God, is the life that we are called to lead. Love over law. One of the joys of my ministry is serving among students who are always seeking out Christ's plumb line. At Capital, we have undergraduates and graduate students, MBA students and seminary students and law students and Master of Education students who really want to look and love and live more like Jesus. Rarely does a wall call out to a mason and ask for a measurement. And if your walls are calling out to you, I suggest you have a conversation with some friends and figure out if that's happening. But at Capital University, undergrads, seminarians, master's students are all over daily asking, how can we look and love and live like our God? For instance, as the news of separation of migrant families came to knowledge among us, I received a swarm of texts and emails and messages and calls asking if we could do something. No one quite sure know what, but can we do something? So we organized a worship service, prayed for reunification, took up an offering to support Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, as well as First English Lutheran Church, one of our synod partners, as they support sanctuary for a migrant family. We planned further out with service projects this fall to help continue to raise money for support of these people. More than that, no, more than those immediate kind of response needs, we've developed these new programs at Capital. One is called the Bonner Scholars Program. And the Bonner Program is a scholarship program where you can come to Capital and receive a scholarship and a work-study job to develop the nonprofit of your choosing. So you can do, whether it's service projects that want to be connected with another nonprofit or build your whole organization on its own, the Bonner Scholars Program can help you do that. That's at the core of who we are, of who our students are. We have an upcoming trip with our new partner, Advent Evangelical Lutheran Church, in Boca Raton, Florida. I've heard that's a nice place to be. But we're going not because of where it is, but because in that building, a Lutheran congregation, a Haitian congregation, a historically African-American congregation, and a Jewish congregation are sharing not only space in which they worship, but ministry. They are working against human trafficking with partners in India. They are working with migrants across Florida. And we are going now to take students to see what kind of work God might be calling them to show them that kind of plumb line that says, where is your core and how strong can you be in the image of God? We are aligning our break time with God's plumb line. And I'm so thankful for students that want to do that kind of work. And you see, that, I think, is the legacy of Lutheran education, whether at the seminary or undergraduate level. We don't just dump information into minds or form habits for occupations. We shape entire lives to embody God's justice, minds and bodies and spirits along the plumb line of the gospel. Christ is our plumb line for this work. So my question for us to consider today is this. Do we, when we build our lives, use that plumb line? Do I use that plumb line? And if not, what else do we use? What are the standards? What are the measures by which we construct ourselves, our faith, our families, our friendships? And if you use that plumb line of Christ, good. Here's the next question. Do you trust that plumb line? Because I truly imagine at Ashland University, the Masons didn't come in and just ignore completely the idea that we want this wall to stand. But whether it was they wanted to get the work done too quickly, or whether it was they didn't keep the line steady, or whether it was they didn't trust it at all, it was clear that that standard was not consistently followed. So we might be using a plumb line, which is good, but if we're not trusting the plumb line, those wobbles, those shifts will still appear. I would say that every time we choose laws over love, we are forsaking God's plumb line. Every time we choose partisan policies over people, we are forsaking God's plumb line. Every time we choose what feels comfortable rather than what we are called to, we are forsaking God's plumb line. That's the difficulty of prophets like Amos, and why I'm pretty sure Pastor Ralph asked me to preach this morning, because these are not easy words. What does God say through Amos? I'm going to tear down your church. Because the plumb line wasn't followed. I'm not tearing down your church, people, okay? This is a very nice place. It's really cool. Clintonville, up and coming. But the word here is that how we live our lives today matters. Jesus has no interest in creating a nation of laws based on those wonky, I would say self-serving tendencies we have. But instead, Christ has every intent of creating a community of love. So how do we know what this plumb line looks like, right? How do we know what Jesus looks like? Who has heard of John Wesley before? Spent any time in a Methodist church? We've got a couple people. All right. So John Wesley founded the Methodist movement, and he had this way of thinking about developing theology. We use scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. So for us, as we think about the plumb line, as we think about looking to Jesus, scripture and tradition and reason and experience can all point us to seeing who God is and what God's up to and what God expects of us. We as Lutherans should also be encouraged to know that when John Wesley was inspired to start this movement, he was reading Martin Luther. So well done, John. That's really good, right? So as we come to know the plumb line in Christ, as we use scripture, as we use reason, as we use experience, as we use the tradition, we're called to construct our lives, our thoughts, words, and deeds of what we do and what we left undone according to that knowledge. Here's the most important Lutheran reminder, of course, right? This is not about earning salvation. This is not about securing God's love for you. Luther's great insight was that we should have a clear conscience in relation to our eternal status. What does Scripture say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God chose love before we existed and even when we did not deserve it. Yet, this also connects with another of Luther's great insights. God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. And God loves your neighbor with that same relentless love that brought you salvation. So with that in mind, in that light, Christ as the plumb line doesn't measure our eternal worth that was already infinitely sealed in the resurrection of Jesus. But instead, it measures our present commitment to the love that overpowers death and the grave. So God will not send us to hell for disobedience, of this you can be sure, but neither will God ensure the existence of our institutions if they don't align with the plumb line of grace. That's true of every congregation. That's true of every university and seminary. That's true of the ELCA, of every denomination. God wants us. God loves us. But if we aren't aligned with that plumb line, God will find another way. So the question is, we need God. Will we align ourselves and our needs with that plumb line? Fortunately, God provides for us a plumb line in Christ. In the Gospels, we see clearly to know what true life, abundant life, looks like, not just for us, but for all people. And what's the truest measure of that plumb line? Whether we are sharing the gifts that God has given us: time and treasure, bread and wine, font and faith, with the world that so desperately needs these things. May we align ourselves with Christ and build walls, not that divide, but that center ourselves in that expressive, expansive, inclusive love of Jesus. Amen.